Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 FY 2024 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the Q&A, we'll review the overall performance for the company for the fourth quarter and the full year 2024. For the fourth quarter of FY 2024, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at rupees 30,630 million, as against rupees 30,005 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording an overall year-on-year growth of 2.1%. For the 12 months of FY 2024, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 118,131 million, as against rupees 115,832 million, recording a YoY growth of 2%. In terms of key highlights for the fiscal year 2024, across businesses, there were some key highlights. In the fourth quarter, Glenmark gained two positions to be now ranked as the third largest company in the cardiac segment of the Indian pharma market, as per IQVIA March data. Glenmark's Europe business registered a strong growth of 33.7% for the full year, and the ROW business also recorded a robust growth of 16.1%. Ryaltris was launched in seven additional markets across the globe, either on our own through a commercial partner, and as of March 2024, Ryaltris has now been launched in 34 markets across the world. The company also enhanced its global branded portfolio through the in-licensing of envafolimab for India and ROW markets and Winlevi for some European markets, the U.K. and South Africa. Ichnos Sciences announced the worldwide out-licensing agreement for its OX40 portfolio, including ISB 830 with Astria Therapeutics. Glenmark and Ichnos entered into an alliance, Ichnos-Glenmark Innovation, to accelerate new drug development in cancer. Glenmark completed the divestment of 75% of its stake in Glenmark Life Sciences to Nirma Limited. In terms of our overperformance across regions, starting with India, sales for the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter of FY 2024 were rupees 9,391 million, as against rupees 8,316 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a growth of 12.9%. In terms of secondary sales, Glenmark's India business continued to outperform the overall industry in terms of growth. As per IQVIA March 2024 data, Glenmark's India formulation business recorded a growth of 11.4% in the fourth quarter and about 10% growth as of March 2024. In comparison, the IPM grew at 5.6% in the fourth quarter and about 7.5% as of March 2024. Glenmark continues to outperform the market in terms of its key therapeutic areas of cardiac, respiratory, dermatology. We have provided a table in terms of our Q4 and MAT growth in the MD&A. Glenmark's India business continues to be ranked 14th with a market share of 2.16%. The company continues to have nine brands in the IPM top 300. And in terms of key therapeutic areas, Glenmark is ranked second, both in dermatology and respiratory segments. As mentioned before, Glenmark is now ranked third in the cardiac segment and is ranked 17th in the diabetes segment. As noted in the MD&A, Glenmark has also improved its market share across some of the key therapy areas. In January 2024, Glenmark and Pfizer joined hands to launch Jabryus, which is abrocitinib, which is a first-of-its-kind oral advanced systemic treatment for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis in India. Developed by Pfizer, Jabryus has received marketing authorization from the CDSCO in India and is also approved by the U.S. FDA, the EMA, and other regulatory agencies. Abrocitinib, which is the molecule, is being co-marketed by Glenmark under the brand name Jabryus and Cibinqo by Pfizer, respectively. In terms of our consumer care business in India, the primary sales in Q4 were about ₹673 million with a growth of 3%. For the full year, the GCC business recorded growth of ₹2,570 million with a growth of 14%. The company's flagship brand delivered growth of 15% for the full year, Candid Powder. And La Shield portfolio delivered a YOY revenue growth of 8%, while Scalp grew by 23% in full year FY24. During the year, various line extensions were launched and performed well, particularly a couple for La Shield and Scalp. North America business. The North America business registered revenue from the sale of finished dosage formulations of ₹7,557 million, which is about $91 million. For the fourth quarter of FY24, as against ₹8,628 million, which was $105 million for the fourth quarter of FY23, and $7,629 million, which is about $91.6 million for the third quarter of FY24. This translates into a YOY decline of 12.4% and a QOQ decline of about 0.9%. The overall business remained challenging on account of lack of any meaningful product launches and a delay in scale-up of some recent launches. In FY24, Glenmark was granted final approval on three ANDAs, Saxagliptin, Apremilast, and Tacrolimus, 0.03%. In the fourth quarter, Glenmark launched Levocetirizine Dichloride. Glenmark also launched several products under the licensing agreements, including some of the injectable products, as mentioned in the last call. The company filed six ANDAs with the FDA throughout the year and two ANDAs in the fourth quarter. Glenmark also leveraged its strong capabilities in the respiratory area to build a portfolio for the U.S. market. As mentioned in the Q3 call, Glenmark has filed two ANDAs for the generic nasal sprays and is awaiting approval for the same. In addition, happy to report that the company has filed the ANDA for generic Flovent, 44 mcg PMDI in May 2024. Glenmark also plans to file another generic respiratory PMDI for the US in FY25 and will continue filing momentum beyond that. In terms of another updates, there's a change in leadership for the North America business. Mark Kikuchi will be joining the company as President and Business Head North America effective 28th of May. Mark joins us from Dr. Reddy's Laboratories, where he was CEO of the North America business since 2019. Overall, he has more than three decades of experience across the pharmaceutical industry. Moving on to Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations revenue for the fourth quarter of FY24 was ₹6,118 million, as against ₹6,078 million in Q4 FY23. Recording a YOY growth of about 0.9%. The European operations continued to remain strong in terms of overall business performance. The branded market has performed well. The growth in the fourth quarter was impacted due to some softness in the tender markets. Key branded markets across the CE, such as Poland, Slovakia, recorded double-digit growth. The respiratory portfolio that we have launched in Europe continues to do well. So key brands like Ryaltris and Salmex continue to sustain their 15%+ market share across some of the markets, both in terms of value and volume. The company is continuing to sustain the increasing contribution from the branded markets in Europe. It is awaiting approval of four respiratory products which were filed in the fourth quarter of FY23. We are also planning to launch Winlevi, which we licensed in this year in some markets of Europe starting FY26. Moving on to the ROW region, for the fourth quarter of FY24, revenue from the ROW region was ₹7,528 million, as against ₹6,864 million for the corresponding quarter last year, recording a YOY growth of almost 10%. As per the IQVIA data, Glenmark's Russia business continues to perform well, both in terms of Q4 as well as MAT March data. In terms of our key therapeutic areas, Glenmark continues to record strong growth and we are ranked 9th in the dermatology market of Russia, and in the respiratory expectorants market, We have grown in line with the overall market and continue to be ranked second as per the IQVIA MAT March data. Ryaltris continues to gain market share in the allergic rhinitis market in Russia. Latin America witnessed strong growth in Q4, respiratory portfolio doing well. Glenmark Brazil achieved high single-digit growth in the covered market, and the company maintained its rank amongst the top 10 companies in the covered market of the chronic respi segment. Glenmark launched the first generic salmeterol fluticasone MDI in Brazilian market in Q4 FY24. And across the other big market, Mexico, secondary sales growth continued to be strong. Ryaltris has been approved in Mexico and will be launched soon. In Middle East and Africa region, company achieved secondary sales growth in some of the key markets like Kenya, South Africa. Ryaltris continues to be the leading nasal sprayer in the allergic rhinitis market for South Africa, and the product was launched in markets like Kenya and Saudi Arabia in FY24. It is also expected to be launched in other key Middle Eastern markets such as the UAE in the forthcoming quarters. The Asia region recorded slightly subdued growth in terms of secondary sales across its key markets due to some macroeconomic challenges in some countries. Top contributing brands across the key therapeutic areas have continued to do well, and Glenmark has received some good approvals in the region, mainly in the dermatology, respiratory and oncology segment. Ryaltris again continues to do well across the Asian region. In terms of our endeavor to create global brands, starting with Ryaltris, so as of March 2024, marketing applications for Ryaltris have been submitted in more than 80 markets. Product has been commercialized in 34 markets. Glenmark's commercial partner in the US, Hikma, recorded substantial increase in the last quarter performance on a QOQ basis. This was backed by strong demand and increasing coverage across major pharmacy chains. Menarini, Glenmark's partner in the EU, has witnessed steady increase in market share across markets. Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharma, has received acceptance of the NDA in February 2024. The company expects approval to be received sometime in FY26. And in the MDA, we have provided the market share across the top 15 markets in terms of IQVIA December 2023 data. Moving on to envafolimab, so in Jan 2024, Glenmark announced the signing of a license agreement with Jiangsu Alphamab Biopharmaceuticals and 3D Medicines Beijing for envafolimab for India and ROW markets. Envafolimab under the brand name Envida has been approved in China by the Chinese NMPA in November 2021 as the global first subcutaneous injection PD-L1 inhibitor for the treatment of adult patients with previously treated MSI high or deficient MMR advanced solid tumors. 30,000 patients have already benefited from this innovative treatment in China, where it has officially been included in the list of breakthrough medicines. Envafolimab is also being currently developed in the USA by Tracon Pharma in a pivotal trial in soft tissue carcinoma subtypes, including some specific subtypes. And Glenmark plans to file envafolimab in more than 30 markets in FY25, and the first market launch is expected in FY26. Lastly, Winlevi. In Q2 of FY24, Glenmark and Cosmo Pharmaceuticals announced the signing of distribution and license agreements for Winlevi, which is clascoterone cream 1%. In 15 European markets, as well as the UK and South Africa. Glenmark plans to launch Winlevi in its licensed markets starting FY26. Glenmark Life Sciences. In September 2023, Glenmark had announced that it had entered into a definitive agreement with Nirma Limited to divest 75% stake in its subsidiary Glenmark Life Sciences. Subject to closing adjustments, the consideration was ₹56,515 million. In March 2024, the company completed the closing formalities of the divestment, and Glenmark continues to now own 7.84% in GLS after the divestment. Ichnos Glenmark Innovation, the company had recently announced the launch of their alliance with its subsidiary Ichnos Sciences called Ichnos Glenmark Innovation, or IGI, to accelerate new drug discovery in cancer. This combined Glenmark's R&D proficiency in small molecules with those of Ichnos in novel biologics to continue to develop cutting-edge therapy solutions for hematological cancer and solid tumors. And going forward, all of Glenmark Group's investments on innovative assets will be channelized through IGI. IGI has two in autoimmune assets that have been outlicensed to leading companies, and apart from that, we have a robust pipeline of three innovative oncology molecules targeting multiple myeloma and acute myeloid leukemia and solid tumors. These are all undergoing clinical trials. We have some further updates on the IGI pipeline on the website. In terms of our key objectives for FY25, consolidated revenue target is rupees 1,35,000 to 1,40,000 million. R&D investment for FY25 is targeted to be around 7 to 7.25% of the total revenue. EBITDA margin target is close to 19% for full year FY25. Consolidated capital investment would be rupees 7,000 million for FY25, and we are targeting double-digit PAT margin for the full year FY25. Some notes to the results before we open the Q&A. Other income primarily includes the mark-to-market value of 7.84% stake in GLS. Exceptional item in the consolidated and the full year result is a loss of rupees 446.78 crores and a loss of rupees 900.95 crores on account of a few items which are listed in the P&L. R&D expenditure in Q4 FY24 was around 265 crores. Consolidated total asset addition in the quarter was rupees 280 crores, of which tangible was around 159 crores. And intangible asset addition was about 121 crores. Gross debt for the period ended March 31st, 2024 was at rupees 990.6 crores. And net cash for the period ended March 31st, 2024 was at rupees 667.7 crores. In terms of our working capital at the end of March 24, inventory was at rupees 2,513 crores. Receivables was at rupees 1,858 crores. And payables was at rupees 2,535 crores. We have the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call today, Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Pani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ashish Mukirwar, Group Vice President and Head of Strategy. The management will be presenting its long-term vision and outlook during the upcoming Investor Day, so today's call will be more focused on the Q4 results. With that, we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Lizanne.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. So my first question would be on the exceptional items that you had. So firstly, on this write-off that we had for 2180 crores. If you can give some color, what is this related to?
Yeah. Good morning, Sian. Thanks for the question. So you're talking about this write-off that we have given in our notes for the US, right?
Yeah.
So this was basically, one was the impairment of assets in Monroe. And, and the balance was basically the working capital rationalization that we did in terms of some provisioning for rebates, etc., and also inventory write-down. Yeah.
So this is mainly working capital and...
It's mainly impairment of assets in Monroe. As you knew that we had three lines there, right? We had the nebulizer, we had the oral solids, and lastly we had the injectables. So to, now we decided we're working only on the injectables, as we did given also in the note. And the other two lines we wrote down, that is the major one, or more than 50% of that. The balance is basically on inventory write down and some rationalization of provisioning, etc.
But sir, this number is $263 million. If I recollect, the total, capex at Monroe was at a lower number, right? This appears much higher.
Yeah, I'll answer you that. So about almost $127 million is basically the Monroe part of it, what assets that we wrote off. The balance is mainly about $130 million is basically inventory and provisioning, both of them put together on rebates.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, I also noticed that the receivable number has come down significantly, almost 1,800 crores. So is that part of this write-off, and then we should see this number higher going in the next quarter?
Sure, I'll answer that. So as you know, in the balance sheet, there is a reduction of almost 1,800 crores. So there is a cash flow impact also, almost about 970 crores. So basically, this is on account of two reasons, Sayan. One is obviously, if you know, third quarter also, we did some work on the India piece, which gave us some benefit. So that would be closer to 600 plus crores. The balance is, obviously, there are two more reasons. You know, like in this quarter, there was not so much growth. But in the going forward, we expected to be about 3,400 to 3,500 per quarter sales. So automatically, debtors would go up, and therefore, you would see it, you know, stabilize by about 10 to 12 days more. It could stabilize by about 70 to 72 days in the medium term.
Okay. And so the other one is intangible, which is $133 million. Again, if you can, you know, talk about what led to this intangible number write-off, what is the nature?
Yeah. So just to give a little color, you know, as we went about this GLS transaction, we decided to have a good look at some of our businesses across, especially the key ones. So one I just spoke to you earlier about the US piece. The second was obviously in intangibles that we have. So over the years, we've been in-licensing products, etc. So obviously, we felt some of those which probably are not looking that good. So we decided that we'll impair them. So those are the reasons. We used to have a book almost of 2,000 plus crores of intangibles. We reduced about 1,100, 133 million. Yeah. These are all non-cash write-off.
Sir, just one last one. This gross margins is very high in the fourth quarter. So material cost to sales, I see, is around 32-odd%. What's the steady, sustainable number we should see on a gross margin going forward?
Sure. On a going forward, it should be around these levels, give and take plus minus 1% sign. Because obviously, this quarter we had the benefit of India being a little higher. But in the coming year also, if I look at it, with Ryaltris expected to sort of grow substantially or almost double up from where we are, it should automatically help us to do better.
Okay, so there is no one-off in this number.
No, there is not a one-off. See, mix also keeps changing, no? Sometimes the sale mix also changes. So that's me. But on a broad basis, we'll be very close to these numbers. As I said, give and take plus minus 1%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join
that. Thank you. The next question is on the line of Gaurang Sakre from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, on Monroe. What is the status update from US FDA? When can we expect re-inspection, and how is our remediation going?
So, good morning. So, on Monroe, we are pretty much done with all the remediation, right? We've been done, and we're requesting FDA for a meeting and a possible inspection. So, we're hoping that in the first quarter, they will come in the next couple of months, I'm guessing. So all of this, we are now taking batches of product and some exhibit batches for the rest of the year.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. And second one, actually, you know, at the start, I missed the comment on this other income being higher. Actually, my line just got distorted at that time only. So can you please repeat what you said?
So we still continue to have a 7.84% stake in Glenmark Life Sciences. The mark-to-market of that was almost 750 crores. That's it.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That was all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kunal Randeria from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Sir, just want to reconcile this net cash number. So in H1, you are on 3,300 crores debt, and today you are on 700 crores net cash. From the cash flow statement, it seems that you've got around 5,450 crores, and then there was some tax inflow of 900 crores. But your working capital also equals 1,600 odd crores, right? And incremental capex is 500 crores. So I'm just wondering, you know, I would have thought maybe the net cash now would have been slightly higher. If you can just run us through, you know, how you arrived at this number.
Sure. I'll try to be as helpful as possible. So obviously, we got about 5,450 net of the transaction cost. The tax is about 17.5%, so we get about 4,500 crores. You're right. At the end of December, we had about 3,960 plus. As you can see, now our cash has also increased by 500 crores. That kind of balances each other. On the other side, if I look at my business, we had an EBITDA of almost, 1,195. And we had a cash interest of about 517. The cash tax there is less because most of the taxes this year were for this. So if you take 80, 90 crores tax also, still we get about 580 or so. But if you take the other side, there is assets acquired, there is dividend. There are some other exceptional items in terms of the litigation and remediation costs, what you have there. But the big piece is the litigation that we paid on the Zetia piece, almost 498 crores. I think that could probably be the difference that you're looking for.
Right. But is my understanding wrong that, you know, your working capital also improved around 1,500 crores, sir?
No, working capital, as you can see, when in my cash flow statement, improved by about a little less than 800 crores, okay, 796. Yeah.
Okay, well, I was just looking at the H1 numbers, you know, your receivables and you know, inventory was around 800 crores higher than what you have given in the presentation now. So now it's your inventory is around 2,500 crores, it was around 3,300 crores, if I'm not wrong.
No, I'll explain to you. In the receivable piece, there is another, you know, as we explained in the previous question, there is a write-down of almost 837 crores. So that's the piece. So some receivable, the rebate provisioning across most geographies, especially the U.S. So that could be a difference, yeah.
Secondly, generic Flovent. Since you have filed it, I'm just wondering, when do we expect approval, and what is the situation in the year? Because I believe GSK had discontinued the product, and now there is only AG in the market. So, your thoughts on this product?
So, we believe that we are the first filer on this product, okay? So, I mean, it's launch on approval, basically, right? And since we filed now, so sometime next year, we are hoping we can launch the product, FY26, right? It's a big product, about $400 plus million dollars in sales, just this one SKU as per IQVIA. And we're working on this, the subsequent SKUs, right, which is the 110 and 220 also. So I think collectively it's a $1.6 billion drug with just the AG out there. Right? GSK has launched an AG. Right?
Got it. And lastly, on Ryaltris, see, in a lot of markets, you have reached double digit. Share. So I'm wondering now from FY24 to let's say FY26, which are the markets where you expect the growth from?
So, I mean, we've just started the launch phase, okay, of Ryaltris. So Ryaltris, we think, you know, I mean, our peak sales now will look more like $200 to $300 million over the next 3 to 5 years. And, if you look at the markets, we've just started launching, as Utkarsh mentioned, Mexico, we just got approval, so we're launching. There are some very big markets where we still don't have a presence, right? Mexico is one, Brazil, we are hoping to get approval either this year or next year. So FY25 or 26. Then, of course, China, which will be a big launch for us, right, starting FY26. So there are a host of markets where we still don't have the product itself. And among the products, markets where we have the product, right, the uptake is rampant, right? So first 3 years, you'll see, very substantial growth, right? Almost 80-100%, right? Till the brand gets established, right? Post 3 years, it'll grow, it'll start slowing down, right? So, I mean, we're in that phase right now where sales are doubling, basically, right? So this year, we anticipate, Ryaltris will be over $80 million in sales, right? We're in that phase right now, the launch phase. Also, we are expecting better performance from the U.S. market from our partners Hikma this year and next year. That will further help the brand grow substantially.
Look, Kunal, just to add, even if you take the top markets, right, I mean, we are about 15%+ in only three markets as of now. So there is still, even in the markets where we have launched, there is still significant scope for us to expand. And obviously, this is also a value of or a factor of when the product has been launched. So as Glenn mentioned, some of the launches have happened more recently. So the market share uptake will be visible in the next few quarters.
And you still expect emerging markets to be the key growth driver here, right?
Oh, I think we're seeing growth across markets, not just emerging markets. Europe is doing exceedingly well, right, for Ryaltris. The U.S., we still have some ground to cover, right, as I mentioned. But Europe, emerging markets, it's a big product.
Sure. And just one last, if I can. The 700 crores of CapEx for next year, if you can just outline your plans on how it will be spent.
So basically, the 700 crore CapEx... obviously, till last year, we had GLS also in the CapEx. Going forward, it will not be there. But on and off, we obviously require to invest in additional lines. As you know, business is growing well also. And we see some lines for that. And also, we are looking at sometimes in-licensing some good products. Well, we may not do a big bang M&A, but we'll do definitely in-license products as and when we require. You already seen us do two last year. So I think we'll add to it.
Yeah, sorry, just to push you on this, because I would have believed that with, the U.S. not doing very well at this point in time, your capacity might not be, optimum, fully utilized. So just wondering why you would need so much capex.
So I think you're seeing substantial growth across the business, right? I mean, every year we are adding, a substantial amount, right? And FY26 will be a big year for the company. That's what we believe, right, in terms of overall growth, right, top-line growth. So in order to plan for FY26, right, we are putting up the CapEx this year, right? So we're adding additional lines across our portfolios, for example, Ryaltris and multiple other areas, right? Now with generic Flovent coming in. So I think there's a significant amount of front-ending CapEx required this year, right, to get to the FY26 performance, right?
Okay, thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of GVK Chaudhary from PD Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My question is about legal settlements in U.S. What is the further payment required for the two settlements that you have already entered? And is there any, what would be the liability on that count?
So there are, obviously for these two, we have to pay about $30 million for the criminal one and 25 for the civil one. And in the next coming year, we have to pay about 300 crores. Some payments are still due of the Zetia that was there. Most of it was paid last year, but some are still there. Plus, as you know, we have given clearly, we pay these settlements over 5 years. So after that, it should be much lower, okay? The year after that, it will be lower.
Okay. So next year, FY25, the liabilities be about 700 crores.
Liabilities will not be there, sir. Liabilities are all already taken. I'm saying the payouts, okay, in terms of cash.
No, I'm asking whether it has been provisioned.
It is already provisioned, sir. Like
so it will not affect the P&L any further.
And there's no impact on the P&L. There'll be no impact on
the P&L. The cash outflow will be about 300 crores in FY25.
Monroe, is there any possibility of you being able to use the facility at all in future? Other than injectables?
No, the other two lines we've already impaired. So it's basically the injectables that we will commercialize. We are hoping to start this year, right, commercialization of the products.
Is there a possibility of you being able to dispose those two lines to someone else?
So we are doing that.
Basically we are impairing it, so we can't use it much. So that it will be more of scrap. Okay, that's all.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aditya Thakur from 5G Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. As you told, FY26
will be... Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Thakur. Sir, your audio is not clear. May we request that you use the handset mode while speaking?
Hi. Is it audible now?
Sir, slightly better. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. As you told, FY26 will be a better year for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. You have already given guidance for FY25. If you could do the same for FY26, like any ballpark guidance for, in terms of sales and profitability. Thank you.
I think it's too early to guide on FY26. I think at our investor day, which is coming up this week, right, later this week, we will provide a much more longer term horizon, right, on the business. So that should give you a clear idea of where the business is going. At this point, specifically FY26, we wouldn't guide. It's too early.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to ask that around 2 years ago, we had kind of guided that Ichnos R&D and cash spend would be made nil. So on that basis and that backdrop, could you please tell us for FY25 what the Ichnos cash R&D spend will be from Glenmark?
So the, you know, IGI spend in 25 will be about 50 million. Okay. We've bought it down substantially, right, over the years. And now this year will be about 50. And I think going forward, we will make sure it stays at 50 or comes even further below that. Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have two questions. This receivables is down sharply this quarter. Could you explain how, I mean, is it because of the provisions for rebates that you have made or how should one look at it? And also, what is the nature of this provision for rebates? What was the need of making this provision and how should one look at that?
Sure. So, Vikas, I explained earlier, but I'll do again. So, obviously, the reduction in the receivable is on account of two reasons. One is obviously there was a better cash flow, as we explained earlier. In Q3, we had sort of brought down our inventory in the channel, so that added to the reducing the receivable by about 600 odd crores. Besides, the growth in this quarter was a little less. Therefore, obviously, the cash flow was a little better on that count also. Now, going forward, the way to look at it is that if you are going to have a sale of almost 3,500 crores, if you add 500 crores more, you will obviously, debtors will go up. So that should go up by 10 to 12 days. And your second question on the provisioning, obviously, you have you provision for various deductions, you know, including rebates, etc. So as we said earlier, after we did this JLS, we looked at across all the businesses and we saw that we could, you know, sort of looked at the provisioning and therefore we saw that it could be increased, so that's the reason why we did that, and that's the reason why it looks lower.
Okay. So this like 1,100 plus crore of reduction in the debtor, so 600 crore is because of India, and what would be the remaining 500 crore for?
No, I'll put it this way. Almost 900 plus crores is cash flow. About 800 crores is basically the provisioning increased, okay? You saw the debtors have come down by almost 1,800 crores, right? I'm giving you a breakup of that.
Year on year, basically.
Yeah.
Hello.
The line for the current participant has dropped off. We
Okay,
move on to the next.
take the next one, yeah.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question again. Just one, this 300 odd crores of exceptional that you have, which includes the remediation cost and DOJ settlement, can you just give a broad breakup for this quarter of this 300 odd crores?
In this quarter, there is not much remediation, Sayan. Till last quarter, altogether for the full year, we had about 98 crores, which is about 30 plus crores in US and almost 70 crores in India. And the as far as the settlement is concerned, that's a separate line item, almost 60 million of that. Besides that, we obviously had to spend something on extra on the litigation cost. That came to about closer to less than 200 crores, yeah. We had to pay for all the legal bills.
So this number that you're giving, no, so I was just looking at the 300 crores for the quarter. So you're
Yeah.
saying there is not much remediation there in that 300
No,
crores?
there's not much remediation in this quarter. It is more of the bills for the legal settlement and obviously mainly that's one of the key reasons, yeah.
The legal settlement is $30 million, right, sir?
DOJ.
Yeah, 30 million, 25 million in this quarter.
DOJ.
Yeah, DOJ is civil.
DOJ. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Tulsian from Newmark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is to Mani sir. Sir, if you could explain, so there is exceptional
Sorry to interrupt.
Mr.
Tulsian, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, what I was asking was if you look at the exceptional item, there's a loss of about 447 crores. Could you take us through the bridge from, you know, the income that we would have made from sale of GLS to how do we get to 447 crores of loss?
Sure. So the sale of GLS was about 5,500 crores. Obviously, there was this, you know, the GLS reserves which are there. This is clear accounting. So about 2,200 crores. And apart from that, as we have provisioned for DOJ, you know, civil and criminal, I mean the civil part of it this time. And then there were exceptional legal fees and remediation costs. Remediation is not much in this quarter, about 60 crores only. I mean, and then impairment of assets, which I already explained to you on Monroe, about 1,052 crores. We also spoke of working capital rationalization. We also said about Europe intangible impairment of 1,100 crores. Broadly, these are the breakups to reach to 447 crores.
Okay, so on the standalone, there is a exceptional gain of 5,000, but on the console, the number might be lower. Is that the way to?
Exactly, because most of the write-downs are outside, yeah, that's the reason.
Understood. And the second question is on R&D. So our R&D target for FY 25 is about 7.5% on our guidance of 13,500 crores of revenue. If I do the math, that's about, you know, 1,000 odd crores, which is not very different from the amount we've spent in FY 24. So is that the steady state R&D going forward?
I mean, clearly the generic R&D spend is going up and IGI is coming down, right? So you're right. Going forward, we'll have a similar run rate on R&D. About as a percent, you should take the R&D spend at around, you know, going forward also around 7-odd%, right? In that ballpark, right? In subsequent years.
Got it. And just one final question on Monroe. So we have, you know, like you mentioned, we've taken a little bit of impairment of our assets. So what is the remaining value of the assets at Monroe now?
Yeah, it's about 150 million. Yeah, still. That is the injectables and the utilities.
Got it.
Dollars, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Jaipuria from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on this working capital bit, you said that receivables are expected to increase by 10 to 12 days. So can you give like a similar guidance for the inventory and payables?
Inventory would means marginally go up, but to that extent you'll make up with your creditors, okay? So I'm just saying overall if I take the net working capital, it should be about 70 to 75 days.
Thanks, sir. That's helpful. And secondly, on the tax rate, so from next year onwards, what kind of ETR and also cash tax that we can expect?
So the ETR would be roughly around 25 to 27%, yeah, and the cash tax would be very close to that only.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lizanne. So before we end the call, we'll just read out the disclaimer. The discussion during this call, including information, statements, and analysis describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements. These are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions and are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause the actual outcome to differ. So the discussion should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for their own judgments, and the company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of any new information, future events, or otherwise. With that, we can close the call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.